Thank you for downloading an OnTel Radio podcast. On this special edition of OnTel Radio News, former governor and presidential hopeful Gary Johnson stopped by for a chat. Helping Robin Jones and I learn more about the governor was Scott Mattiso and the mad genius Mike Carroll. The governor talked about his version of a prosperous America and why he feels he is the best choice for the top job. Gary Johnson is big on personal freedoms and eliminating wasteful spending, and he boasts himself as the only libertarian candidate running for president. We were honored to have him stop by and share his views, so take a listen. Enjoy. All right, here we are. It's Friday night here at OnTel Radio, and I'm Ryan Sayer. We have a very special guest tonight, a very special group of guests with us tonight. Let's get to our panel first. First, we have the CEO of OnTel Radio, who with his wife Pamela have spent the last 5 years building a massive community of individuals who, like them, want to protect the rights of Americans, spend money as they see fit, online and off. Mr. Robin Jones, hello.
Hello.
All right, we have Robin. Next, we have Scott, host of Scott Mattiso Show, coming soon to OnTel Radio, and the brother of professional poker player Mike Mattiso. He's an investor, and trading is one of his daily hobbies. Plus, he's an avid blogger. Say hello to Scott Mattiso.
How you doing? I'm contestant number two. Pick me. We'll go to Niagara Falls.
And then finally, we have the founder of the Mike Carroll University of Poker, located online at PokerOne.com. He's regarded as one of the top minds in poker strategy, psychology, and statistics. And he works right now behind the scenes to promote the integrity of poker, Mr. Mike Carroll.
Hey, I'm here. I hear you well.
All right, good. Now let's get to our special guest. He's the governor of Mexico for 10 years. He's a successful entrepreneur, and he's the founder of the not-for-profit group Our America Initiative, which promotes fiscal responsibility, rational public policies, and like himself, is a champion of civil liberties. He's also an all-around outdoorsman, we hear, so we want to talk about that too. Please welcome the governor, Mr. Gary Johnson.
Good to be here, and you know, I am a candidate for President of the United States, trying to get the Republican nomination to do that.
You sure are. And we have the our first question from Robin, and he wanted to ask you just about that.
Good evening, sir. Thanks for taking a little bit of time out to join us tonight on the OnTel Radio. I was looking at some of your past accomplishments, and one of the ones that caught my eye was you climbed Mount Everest. That is an accomplishment that a lot of people only dream of. A lot of people died trying, and not too many people have done. How was that task of climbing Mount Everest and running for president kind of combined together?
Well, the whole notion that life is a journey and it's not about a destination, and it was in that context, it was great to go to Everest on an expedition to try and accomplish that, and I guess made special by the fact that even though life is a journey, actually got to the top. But so running for president of the United States, it's a journey. You got to enjoy getting up every single day and talking about the issues and what's good for America and the destination. If you make life a destination, I think you're just going to bound to be disappointed. You have to love what you do. And I think I'm on this with a bunch of people who really have passion for what they do. So I think you guys can all understand that.
Absolutely. Which brings me to my last question real quick. There's been a long battle for the last, since 2006, since the UIGEA was passed by the government. And it always comes back to a few issues. Mainly, it's a gambling issue, and is the game of poker a game of skill or chance? How do you feel that the government should be involved with online regulation as far as poker when 48 out of the 50 states already have some kind of regulated gambling already in their states? Do you think the government should be involved, or do you think it should be left up to the individual states to regulate how they want to operate gambling, either online or brick and mortar?
I think it should be left up to the states, and personally, I think that online gambling should absolutely be allowed. Again, this is a passion of a lot of people. I find out that people play poker. I didn't know this prior to getting involved with this issue, but I didn't realize people played that you could play poker online for pennies on the evening. And, you know, so So it's okay to have a state-run casino. It's okay to go into the casino and lose hundreds of dollars. And by the way, it is your right to go into the casino and lose hundreds of dollars, but you're taking away that option. And you point out that there's state-run gambling of some sort in 48 states. We got state-run lotteries. So come on, this is another instance of government getting involved. And in this case, I would just guess that the online poker industry existing in the United States would entail a minimum of thousands of jobs that currently go begging. And what's worse is you got, from what I understand, 10 million poker players that were playing poker online that are being denied the ability to do that. Come on, give me a break. And I'm talking to the government now. Give me a break.
Scott?
Scott Mattisau.
Mike, you want to chime in on that? I think we lost Scott.
All right, we lost Scott. This is Mike Carroll, Governor. By the way, you got a little bit of frostbite, I read, when you got to the top of Everest.
I had my mic off.
Yeah, I did, and it had to do with the fact that I broke my leg prior to going to Everest. I left for Everest on March 21st out of New Mexico, and on January 10th, I had a full fracture of the tibia in my leg, and so it was really lack of circulation in my broken leg that led to the frostbite.
It contributed to that, huh? Well,
yeah, I'm very close to
wanting to vote for you. Anyway, because your ideology is very close to my own and to a lot of poker players, I might add. But your resiliency amazes me. You also had an encounter with a tree hang gliding, I understand, and jumped back up and got right back in it. So you're kind of our man.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't think that I could do the job, number one, and do a really good job at it. And I'll just tell you guys, and I hope you look at it, there is nothing in my resume to suggest that I'm not going to do what it is I say I'm going to do. I don't think there's anything in my life that I've said I was going to do and didn't do. And in this case, this is a big job, and there are some promises that I'm making, and the promises don't entail anyone else. They entail submitting a balanced budget, vetoing budgets that aren't going to be balanced. I think we're on the verge of a financial collapse. That would be a monetary collapse. That would be a collapse in the bond market, and it would be due to the fact that there's no repaying $25 trillion in debt, which is what it's projected to be by 2020, given the amount of money that we're printing right now to cover what's happening. And when it comes to a whole bunch of issues, you know, whether it's marijuana, whether it's playing poker, a woman's right to choose, gay unions, I'm siding with individuals making choices that I think only individuals should be making.
Well, you're a true Republican in the sense that you are a libertarian, and so you're for not only economic rights but for individual rights. And a lot of us in the poker industry are like that. Do you play, Governor? Do you play poker, or are you just philosophically for its?
You can't grow up and have a normal existence if you don't play poker, right? Can you? I mean, no. I'm not a casino playing poker player, but I can't tell you how many hours I've spent playing poker in my life. So I enjoy poker. I play a pretty good game of chess. Play a pretty good game of backgammon. I'm a games guy. I've been a games guy my entire life, and that would be card games also, you know, outside of poker.
You mentioned the collapses there.
Go ahead. And what's
how
that?
Does the you mentioned the collapses that you were just speaking of, and then we talk about the billions of dollars in poker, and then billions of dollars in the marijuana trade, and let's talk about the billions of dollars in the alcohol industry that's already there. Would that stave off these collapses, and are we headed for another bailout?
Well, I think there's going to be a quantitative easing number three, whatever they end up calling that. And as you guys recognize, we're you know, borrowing money is one thing. That's not a bad thing. That means somebody's loaning you money, and that person expects that person, that country, whomever expects to be repaid. We're not borrowing money. We're printing money. We're printing money right out of thin air. And when it gets to the point that we are printing 100% of what we're borrowing, which, by the way, is not far off, that's the bond market collapse. That's nobody wanting to buy U.S. debt, and that's the U.S. Treasury printing money to buy all of what it is we spend. Man, that is a... that is a severe devaluation in our dollars. That's the worst possible thing. The worst that our bank accounts become worth nothing, or they become worth significantly less.
Governor Johnson, Scott Mattis, can you hear me, sir?
Yes.
What really needs to change in Washington? I mean, we know we've talked about some general things, and I agree with you. We also know, I'm sure you would agree, there's a lot of corruption and a lot of the good old boy kind of thing. Things have been going on for the same way forever. I mean, you could go back to the mid-80s with, easy money, and back to 2002 with even easier money. I mean, don't you think that running for president, that one thing that you would want to try to do is inspire, be a really good leader and inspire some inspiration for us as Americans? Maybe we need to sacrifice a little bit. Maybe we need to stop loading up our credit cards, and maybe we need to take responsibility rather than, another politician that just, promises us things. Maybe we need to hear the truth. Would you agree with that, sir?
I completely agree with that. I'm telling you that, I'm using this as the forum that it is. I'm trying to sell myself, so I'll just apologize ahead of time. Made a difference in New Mexico. I made a really big difference. New Mexico was very corrupt when I took office. There was no corruption. There was nothing that happened during my time as governor, because nothing did happen. It was always about good government. It was always about issues first and politics last, if it even entered into the equation. And so back to Washington. Yeah, you bet. It's bought off. But here's the way, and the way is you elect a president that's going to go up there. And by the way, everything that I did as governor of New Mexico, it was easy. It wasn't hard. It was easy to do the right thing. I'm telling you, it would be easy to go to Washington and do the right thing and to say the right things and to lead by example. And you're talking about don't live by the credit card. You know, the president of the United States needs to cut the executive budget by 43%. Air Force One needs to be grounded. These are the examples that need to be set. I have never paid 1 cent of credit card interest in my life. I mean, if that speaks to anything. And having grown the business that I grew, and I don't know if you guys checked it out, but I started out in Albuquerque as a one-person handyman, in 1974, and actually grew it to employ 1,000 people, electrical, mechanical, plumbing, pipe fitting. So the whole notion about knowing what it is to make a payroll and hiring...
Sure.
And more importantly, firing people, man, that is key to
money management.
Success.
Sure.
Knowing whether a person who is telling you something really means what they're saying, or are you just getting, you're just getting yanked around. Well, that ends up to being to be really crucial as to whether or not any of us are successful or fail.
Sure. I think you're 100% right about that. Just, I think the hard part is trying to convince people. It seems like in the culture we live in today, when President Obama was running. I mean, at the time I was doing my show, I'm like, this guy can't keep his promises. And I'm like, why are we listening to a guy promising two cars in every garage? I want to hear a politician that tells me the truth, that says, look, we need to change. We have to sacrifice. Yeah, not only we have to care about the neighbors, we can do charity ourselves. We don't need the government doing all these programs and stuff. Let's work hard and bring back some American exceptionalism.
Bravo. Bravo. You're not running. It sounds like you do a good job at the presidency, but
do you have a VP picked out?
You know, you're gonna have to hang with number two here, I think.
All good for me, sir.
This is Mike Carroll. By the way, Governor, I don't know if you know this or not, or the rest of us. Here know this, but just as we were going on the air just a few minutes earlier, the S&P did downgrade the credit rating to AA+.
That to me was you guys play poker. That was written on the wall. You know that.
Yep.
Is it luck or is it skill? Well, shoot, man, predicting they were going to downgrade the debt, that was going to happen. I've been talking about that for 18 months, and that had nothing to do with, it has everything to do with the fact that it needs to be downgraded.
Would it cause this downgrade? The math, the economists will say that the math tells you it's going to turn our dollar into a peso, basically. Is that true?
No. This is factored in. This downgrade is factored in. This, in my, not that there won't, not that there couldn't be a knee jerk on it, but anything this obvious, if there is a reaction, it'll be short lived, in my opinion. The reaction from the market, and I'm listening to your resumes. I'm just part of the choir here, part of the discussion. Markets all week long, I think, are reflecting the fact that there is such uncertainty and that these issues were not dealt with. This wasn't dealt with. And then you've got Europe, which, in my opinion, is just playing the previews to the movie that we're going to witness here in just a short amount of time. And that's the bond market collapse that I just think is written into the cards.
Yeah, I agree with you, Governor. This is, things are good right now. We're going back even to 2008, and people are on CNBC. They're like, "Is this like 2008?" I'm like, "Well, it's the same thing because nothing's changed since 2008. All they did was put stimulus Band-Aid. It doesn't work. It's like feeding a drug addict his drugs over and over and over again." And I try to tell people on my show, I'm like, "We have to change that thinking." What the Tea Party wanted to do, and I think you would agree. What they wanted to do in Washington, they come there, some of them were trying to keep a promise, and they were demonized for actually being honest politicians by Senator Reid, by even Senator John McCain, and people keep buying into that. They listen to the sound bites on Fox or CNN, and it seems like nobody wants to get educated and learn about what we really need to do to change. Isn't that true, sir?
Oh, totally. And you saw here in the last couple of days where statistically, our GNP is now less than our debt. So we crossed over that line, and we're just statistically 2 years behind where Greece is now.
Oh, boy.
I mean, it's baked in. The numbers are baked in. It's going to happen.
I agree with you, sir.
Governor, this is Mike Carroll again. I would like you to answer a question for me because this will tell you a little bit about where I am, and maybe other people feel the same way. And I'd like to know, as president, how you would deal with this kind of an attitude. My attitude is that, and I'm getting back to poker here, it seems uncomfortable to me that we're in a position to beg the government for regulation. Regulation on the games may be a good thing, I'm not sure, but if we agree to it, we can regulate it in many ways. It doesn't need to be the United States government doing it, but if it is, so be it. But I don't want to be put in a position of begging the United States government to let me play poker. When did I ever need a government to tell me that I could or could not play poker? That's what parents do. Now, that's my feeling. That's my attitude. Would that concur with your style of thinking if you were president?
Absolutely. And if you guys saw this, one of the things that distinguished me as governor of New Mexico was that I vetoed 750 bills while I was governor of New Mexico.
Governor veto, they called you.
Thousands of line item vetoes. Only two were overridden. So if you can imagine, there was all sorts of legislation that wanted to regulate A, B, C, D, E, F industries. If they were existing industries, I really didn't want to sign on to that. Now, don't get me wrong. I think government has a role to protect you and I against groups, individuals, corporations that are going to do us harm. Don't get me wrong there. I see the role of government. But for the most part, what I saw as governor was rules and regulations and laws that they tried to pass that basically were going to adversely affect 99.9% of people, making it more costly and take more time to do something to protect us against the 0.001% that were bad actors. So I took that stand. But I also took the stand that, okay, so online poker, that's going to require legislation from Congress to get this back online. They're going to have to repeal it. They're going to have to come in with a piece of legislation. I was also, what I think, was pragmatic. If the only way that first of all, I don't need any regulation whatsoever when it comes to poker. I think that our lives are really dictated by a handshake, and when handshakes go awry, you know, maybe attorneys have to get involved. That's where the legal system gets involved, and the less laws that affect that handshake relationship, the better, because that's what life boils down to. In the case of online poker, if the only legislation that the Congress is going to pass is going to include regulation, I'm going to hold my nose, but I'm going to sign it, because poker with regulation is better than no poker at all. And I hope you can see that that extends to a whole bunch of other examples that I would have taken on as governor and would take on as president.
But you said you would have to hold your nose and do that, because you're acknowledging that it would be better off if we didn't even have to beg for regulation or for legalization.
Absolutely.
At all.
Absolutely. I mean, that goes for marijuana also. I have not raised a tax in my entire political career, not one penny of tax. I am advocating taxing marijuana. But I think by advocating taxing marijuana, that there's a palatability to get that issue passed and to actually make it happen. And the detriment of taxing it gets, in my opinion, dwarfed by the benefit of not having to spend half of what we spend on law enforcement, the courts, and the prisons on our drug laws. Along with the fact that we now have 2.3 million people behind bars. Hmm. Most of them are there because they've sold drugs.
And we spent just endless dollars on a drug war that doesn't work. And now if we have to legislate and regulate poker, we're going to spend endless more dollars to make that happen, essentially.
Yeah.
So we're not going to save a dime but spend more money. How do you take that business-minded approach if you get in the White House and start looking at the budget and take your business mind to it? Where do you start?
Well, you start with the big ticket items, and that's going to be Medicaid, Medicare, and military spending. First of all, government needs to be cut by 43%, and that's the amount of money that we're currently printing and borrowing a little bit of it, but for the most part, we're printing it. So that's the amount of spending that needs to be reduced. Social Security... It's not cutting Social Security. Social Security doesn't need to be cut, but to make it financially solvent, the retirement age needs to get raised. Perhaps means testing. We could talk about that if you want. Changing the escalator built into Social Security from the wage index to the inflation index, back to Medicaid and Medicare. I advocate to the federal government block granting the states a fixed amount of money, 43% less than what we're currently spending, and leave the do away with all the strings, do away with all the mandates, do away with all of what is required currently under Medicaid and Medicare, and just give the delivery of health care to the poor and those over 65 to the states, believing that they can do that with 43% less money. And I base that on having been governor of New Mexico and reformed Medicaid in New Mexico. I believe I could have delivered Medicaid in New Mexico with 43 cents less on the dollar. I believe I could have done that. And, of course, that would have meant also that the federal government would not have told me how to spend those health care dollars. I feel like if I would have been given Medicare the same setup, 43% less, do away with everything that I'm mandated to do with that money, that I could have delivered health care to those over 65 also.
Sounds like
you
a good
mentioned, go ahead.
Well, we have a question from Stephen Berenzina. I can't even say it. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name. Berenzina? And his question is, he wondered what Governor Johnson's thought is about Barney Frank's bill never getting to the floor of the House. That's the H.R. 2267, I think he had last year. The online poker business is estimated to be $30 billion. That's a lot of a lost tax revenue that the Treasury could be collecting. He wanted your thoughts on that.
Oh, I just totally agree. I completely agree. I'll tell you guys, this is your passion. My passion is downhill skiing and mountain biking, and I am being denied access to public trails on public lands on my mountain bike, where horses are allowed on those same trails, and the excrement from the horses are allowed, but not my mountain bike.
Bike's not motorized, right?
Exactly. Not motorized, but I'm being excluded from public trails on public lands because it's a mountain bike as opposed to a horse.
This is Mike Carolyn. Governor, it gets worse than that, doesn't it? It gets some of these prohibitions that seem equally ludicrous extend to private lands and lands that you own.
Oh, yes, yes. So I was trying to, it'll come to me here in a minute. I'll try and make a point on conservatives, how they pass legislation that conservatives will pass legislation when it comes to business that I'm losing my point here. Liberals. So the liberal lawmaking agenda includes restricting me from public lands. The conservative agenda passes laws that outlaw poker.
Makes no sense.
Conservatives want to do it. Conservatives want to do it in the bedroom, and so they pass those laws. They pass those laws that, hey, these are decisions that only you and I can make. And then liberals, they pass laws. They'll argue that, no, you shouldn't have laws regarding marijuana, but they'll pass rules and regulations that prevent me from mountain biking, prevent me from using public land.
That's crazy. This is Scott Madison, Governor. I've always thought the progressive liberals, especially on the West Coast, seem to be just a lot into a lot of control. They want to tell people what to do. It almost seems like, I wouldn't say keep people down, but it's almost like the sense of control. And it seems like that spills into the media where people are told what to say, what to do. And obviously, I mean, we're a nation of laws. We need to obey the laws. But it seems like there's a lot of restriction here And I think, in my opinion, I think that really limits us as a country to actually get to the potential that we're capable of getting to. Do you agree with that, sir?
Oh, totally. No, you nail it on the head. And let me tell you guys the reform that's needed when it comes to business, and that is our entire tax system shifting from what it is today to the fair tax. If you guys haven't checked out the fair tax, check it out, fairtax.org. What it is it's a one federal tax, a consumption tax, based on new goods and services, and it replaces the income tax, it abolishes the IRS, it does away with business-to-business tax, so it does away with the corporate income tax. There's no more loopholes because there'll be no more income tax, there'll be no more IRS. Does away with FICA withholding, FUTA withholding, Social Security withholding, Medicare withholding. So no one federal tax, and that's how you reform the economy and get everybody. So fair tax. It's fair, and it simplifies. So yeah. That kind of reboots the American computer when it comes to business and jobs and no corporate income tax. I mean, why would you start and operate a business anywhere but this country, given the ultimate advantages?
Makes sense.
Mike Carroll here, Governor. I'm for the fair tax. I approve it. I want it. But how do you fight people who will tell you that even though it isn't, because the largest consumers pay the greatest amount by far, and so for infrastructure or their use of things, obviously they pay more than what would be an equal share. And that's why it's a fair tax. But what do you say to people who say, well, it's actually regressive? It isn't a regressive tax, but how do you counter the argument that it is?
So the notion that it's regressive is, and this is why you guys need to get online, the fair tax proposes to give, the fair tax would issue all of us, every single citizen in the country, a prebate check every month for $200 apiece. We'd all get $200 a month, a check every month, and that would cover all of us up to the poverty level paying the fair tax. So back to fair. It is fair. Those that make more money consume more. It's just that simple. Those that don't pay any tax currently are going to pay tax. The government is going to exclude everyone up to the point of poverty with these prebate checks.
Good answer, and that's as I understand it. I have a question for you from one of our listeners, and I don't know if this is intended as a hostile question or just seeking an answer, but it's from Pamela Jones, Colorado Springs. And Governor, how would eliminating 43% of the government to balance the budget not affect critical programs?
Well, I always maintain that as governor of New Mexico, I could have cut state government by one third and no one would have noticed the difference. Now, that's what I maintained. And then I also said, hey, I'm not the dictator, so I can't do this. I respect three branches of government. I just suggest that if we don't stop printing money,
oh boy,
that we're all going to be left with nothing. That's absolutely what we're faced with right now. We are faced with a monetary collapse that if you want to view 57% of what government does as essential, you know what? I might buy into that. So make the 57% of government that is efficient function just that way. There's so much waste, and forget about the waste. If we don't fix this, I'm just suggesting we're going to be left with nothing. We're going to be left with decades of a lifestyle that I guess Russia, with its monetary collapse, is the role model that we could look to. That in the mid '80s, they had a complete monetary collapse.
Yeah, and Governor Scott Masley, I believe a loaf of bread is like $100. You had super hyperinflation, people rioting, and I talk about that on my show. I'm like, if we don't change what we do now, exactly what you're saying, and we keep putting this money and the stimulus, we keep flooding it and devalue the dollar to it. There's nothing. It not only here, the whole global system collapsing. We're talking it possibly even maybe having a war, just having complete chaos. And I believe everything you're saying. I believe you're 100% right.
No, and you're right on, and you probably pointed this out, and I hope I get the dates right here, but the Weimark in Germany, 1922, 120,000 Weimarks in 1922 bought a bungalow in Berlin. A year later, that same amount of Weimarks bought a loaf of bread. And that's what happens.
Hyperinflation, yeah.
One of the ways Go ahead, sir.
Well, I have the $100 trillion note from Zimbabwe that I carry around in my wallet, which when it was printed was worth 9 US cents. And shortly after it was printed, their currency was completely defunct, completely devalued.
One of the ways you talk about saving money and wasteful spending, and it's not a very popular Republican opinion, is defense, you know, spending cutting, and especially all these bases we have around the globe. Why do we need all these bases? We're not an empire anymore, are we?
I agree. So I think you start with a premise of can we provide a strong national defense for this country and cut military spending by 43%? I think the operative word is defense, as opposed to offense, and no more nation building. I was opposed to Iraq from the get-go. I didn't think there was a military threat from Iraq.
Absolutely.
I thought if there would have been a military threat from Iraq, weapons of mass destruction, that we could have seen that with our military surveillance capability and gone in and dealt with that. I thought if we went into Iraq, we would have found ourselves in a civil war to which there would be no end, which I'm afraid has happened. Afghanistan, I thought that was initially totally warranted, that is why we have a military. We were attacked. We attacked back. But after being in Afghanistan for 6 months, we wiped out al-Qaeda. That was 10 years ago. Libya. I would not be in Libya. There's nothing in the Constitution that says that because we don't like a foreign leader, we should go in and topple that foreign leader. Where was the military threat from Libya? There isn't one. Aren't we in a civil war in Libya? And don't five other countries right now qualify for that same intervention? Other countries, we are spending more money on military spending than all the other countries in the world combined, and we're 5% of the world's population. Hmm. When they talk about China being a military threat, we're spending 52 cents of the worldwide military dollar. China is spending 9 cents of that dollar. If we cut our military spending by 43%, we would still be outspending China 3-1.
Wow. You're right, Governor. Scott Mouser, I think you're absolutely right what you're saying. I couldn't agree with you more. I think I'll have to vote for you. But yeah, I've been a Republican my whole life. I mean, a registered Republican. I'm not sure I recognize this Republican Party today, especially with the debt ceiling thing that was going on a couple of weeks ago. Some of the Tea Party people I could identify with. It's just, I talk a lot on my show. I get discouraged seeing things out there. I feel that people just really need to change their thinking. I think they need to listen to people more like you, people like Congressman Paul, that actually out there telling the truth, even though maybe we don't agree on every issue. But I feel that you're an honest man and is trying to get to the bottom of what we need to change and do here. And I think in this country, we got to stop just listening to these. Like, I talk on my show a lot about President Obama when he was running for office. he reminded me of the guy that goes in a bar and tries to pick up a chick. You know, he'll say anything he can, you know, get her in the bed. Anything he can to get her. And then as soon as he gets her, he's gone the next morning. But I thought he was going to love me. You know what I'm saying? It's like we're a dumb 17-year-old. How do you, isn't that a trick that you're running for president? You want to get your point across. And yet, I'm sure there's got to be a part of you that goes, you know, do I really have to lie to these people just to get elected? Do I have to, with no due respect to Governor Romney, do I need to be wishy-washy like him and not be strong in what I believe in? I mean, it seems like every person like you or Ron Paul is looked at as a kook or not invited to debates. And they keep having these same paper stiff people in these debates that have these watered down answers. And I can't speak for everybody else that's listening out there, but I'm getting sick and tired of it. I'm 44 years old. I can't take it anymore. Let's get some honest people like you in Washington, and let's try to work these deals out. It might be hard for all of us. We might have to make some sacrifices, but let's freaking do it.
Well, I completely concur. And this is my pitch here. This is my pitch, and this is what I'm telling you, this is not hard to accomplish, and I'm basing that on having been governor and made a huge difference by everything being transparent. Everything was transparent. Here's the issue. Here's why I am deciding what it is I'm deciding, because it is in the best interest of New Mexico taxpayers. So everything was really a cost-benefit analysis. Am I going to outlaw poker in New Mexico? Online poker in New Mexico? No. Why would I do that? Why shouldn't we play poker online in New Mexico? And I use that as a hypothetical example of everything it was that I did. And why that can't happen at the presidential level, it can.
Governor, this is Mike Carroll again. Here's an uncomfortable question for you. I'm sure you've been asked it a whole bunch of times, and it comes from Chris Dyer from Georgia. And I'll skip the first part of his question, which pretty much sums up what you've said. So he's sympathetic with your beliefs, as many of us are. But he ends with, why should I vote for you and not Ron Paul? Can you give us a reason?
Well, let me just point out the differences, and you make the judgment. I would not tell anyone don't vote for Ron Paul. I supported Ron Paul last go around, but I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't think I could do this job. So the differences between myself and Ron Paul would be, I would support a woman's right to choose. I support gay unions. When it comes to the border, you know what? I think immigration is really a good thing. I don't think that we should be building a fence across the border. I don't think putting the National Guard down at the border accomplishes anything. To me, it's accomplished with the basic notion of making it easy for someone who wants to come into this country and work to be able to do that. And then when it comes to Ron Paul and I, just the resumes. You know what? He has registered a lot of very principled no votes over the years as a congressman. The difference between his no votes and my no votes were that my no votes actually held up. My no votes actually stopped the legislation. And I had to engage in the discussion and the debate over why what I was doing was right. And New Mexico voters got a chance to get back at me when I ran for reelection. And I got reelected in a state that's 2-1 Democrat by a bigger margin the second time than the first time. So and don't get me wrong, hey, Ron Paul, I'm sure, would have been a terrific governor. I'm sure he'd be a terrific president. But served as an executive, not a legislator.
I got the message. One more question, Governor. Still Mike Carroll here. I would like to know. I just drove through New Mexico about 2 weeks ago. And you know what? I guess it's not legal for me to play poker there if I were to get off and get into a bar and play in the open. That makes me feel really bad because I'm a law-abiding citizen. I respect laws, and yet I, for the life of me, I can't figure out why that's a crime. Let's say you've talked a little about online poker. What about poker in general? In most states, you can't play poker. What do you think should be done about that?
Well, I just agree with the notion that it should just be. Oh, this is, I think, just fundamental to you and I as individuals being able to make choices that. So the choice ought to exist out there that here's the poker room in XYZ city, and you know what? Somebody doesn't want to play poker or be around poker, then don't go into that establishment. I really believe that what the magic of this country is liberty and freedom and us being able to make choices that only we should make, not the government. And of course, when you cross over the line, crossing over the line being when your actions adversely affect others, that's where government has a role. Somebody's got to be around to actually police the bad actors that regrettably exist. They exist everywhere. Not all that many, but enough to where government really is warranted.
Well, that's something that you might be able to do if you were with the legislation, if some legislation passes to allow online poker or poker in general. Then protecting the players is something you see as a role for the government. In other words, making sure that games are fair.
Well, I would sign. I don't know if government has a role in arbitrating. Back to fundamental contract law, I guess. Look, somebody that's going to cheat. They need to be punished if that cheating leads to damage to yourself. I don't know if more than half the time that requires legislation. I just oftentimes it's unneeded legislation that implied in our law is that you can't cheat, you can't defraud me, you can't defraud me.
Damage and remedy. You're getting to.
But if the laws, and you said you would be holding your nose and voting for this because you didn't really think there should be regulation. If it comes to regulation, Governor, do you think a part of the package should be legislation? That part of the legislation should cover integrity of the games, in other words, protecting players against cheating.
I think the reality is so. Not running for, I'm not running for Congress. I'm running for the presidency. So, I would not putting my 2 cents into that legislation. I don't care about those rules, but yes, I would sign legislation that contain those rules, as opposed to not having the industry at all.
Thank you.
We talk about the government sticking their nose where it's not belonged, and talked about it quite a bit. Why is taxing the internet the answer? Why sticking their noses in there and making money off that and regulating that, or having a kill switch to it? Why would that be the answer? Why would they want to do that?
Well, that's not part of my agenda. That is not my agenda
Right.
Yeah. No. I agree with you that that's something we're going to see more and more of, but that is not something that I would have any part in. I need to check out something as a result of what you're saying right now. It's my belief that the fair tax would actually apply to internet transactions.
Okay.
So that to me is not taxing the internet as it is. That's something I need to check out. How does the? I would assume that the fair tax would affect all internet transactions.
One of the things I agree with you on is that the internet itself has been successful because it has been left wide open to be that way. How would you apply that to other areas too?
Well, just that acknowledgement, certainly. That acknowledgement, I think, just goes a long way when it comes to looking at, let's see, what's an example of government getting involved? I mean, government getting involved in telecommunications, you know, the phones, the television, cable TV, satellite radio. I think it's worse, not better. If they, do you guys know that in Europe, you have a cell phone, it's coming from a satellite. So, man, there's no issue when it comes to coverage with a cell phone if you go to Europe. Here in this country, everything is land-based, and that's because of legislation that was passed. So you got to have a cell phone tower for everything, that being what has been dictated in law. We don't have any satellites delivering cell phone signals in this country. And so that's why cell phones suck in so many areas, and that's the government can lay credit for all that.
And they even paint them like trees now and have I have one down the street in my house. It's a giant brown tower with green tower leaves that is just a cell phone tower.
and that was the government protecting those that got in the cell phone business early on, and instead of just blowing the lid off of a system that how could it possibly be as efficient as a satellite? Now we basically have this third world delivery of cell phone service. So there's a great example of government getting involved, as opposed to if there'd have been no regulation, if it would have been untethered, you know what? Satellites would have come in, and everybody that would have invested in cell phone towers would have lost their money. Hopefully they'd have seen the light and switched over to satellites. But anyway, government regulated. Government picking winners and losers.
All right, we got a few more minutes here with the governor, and I'm going to give Scott and Mike one last shot to ask some questions or see how he feels. So go ahead, Scott.
This is interesting. The governor was talking about abortion and gay unions and stuff I've talked about on my show before. I think my view and his are almost exactly the same. Touching on the abortion issue, it seems to me that's a settled issue anyway. I'm pro-life, okay? But I think that a lot of people miss the difference. The legal difference is what that really means versus the moral difference of it. I'm pro-life, but I would try everything. I recognize the law of the United States of America, woman's right to choose. I might not agree with that Supreme Court decision, but it's still the law we abide in. So I would do everything I could to say, hey, look, what can I do to convince you to have your child? You know, is there anything, adoption? Is there anything we could do to convince you to have your child? Based on the gay rights issue, I heard the interview you did, I think it was with Fox, and I completely agree with you. It's not, I don't feel it's government's role, state government's role to define what marriage is. That belongs to the church to remain so-called separation church and state, one not dictating to the other. It seems to me that the answer to this gay marriage issue would be basically have the state just issue a civil union to heterosexual couples and gay couples, and let each person's church just issue them a marriage certificate. Would you agree with that, Governor?
No, that's my position. That's 100% what I espouse.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, again, you think of my thinking and yours are right on the same wavelength, pretty much.
I'm telling you, the vice president's right here, Scott Madison.
There we go.
Mike,
there we go.
Mike, go ahead.
Well, Governor, I think I'd like you to I'm very close to – I'm not in love with you, but I like you. So we're getting pretty close here. We haven't sealed the deal. So could you, like, in about – I'll give you a minute and a half. What would you say to me and to other poker players, Americans of all persuasions, who are kind of on the fence right now and are intrigued by your philosophy – haven't really decided whether to go there.
Well, I would love for everybody listening to this to go online, GaryJohnson2012.com, and have a look. And you know, you got to do a little research. and you got to do a little research when it comes to everybody else.
Yep.
And I really think that shining the light on that kind of process, which is checking everybody out, and I feel really confident about the outcome. I do, or I wouldn't be doing this. But that's only something, Mike, that you can do. And I'm going to respect the outcome of that decision-making process, but the pitch is, man, everybody needs to do it. We owe it to ourselves. I think the country is at an absolute crossroads, and that crossroads is, will we have a country or not? I mean, that's how critical I think it is.
Absolutely.
The fact that my entire life I've watched government spend more money than what it takes in, I've always thought that there would be a day of reckoning. I just think that day of reckoning is here, it's right now, and that if we don't deal with it, we're going to all find ourselves with nothing.
Yeah, it could be, especially within 5 years. I wish, this is Scott here again, I wish there were more people like you, Governor Johnson. I mean, it's kind of, I find it really bizarre that you were governor for what, 11 years, right?
Well, I was a governor for 8 years, two terms.
Two-term governor. Bill Clinton was governor. He came out and got the nomination years ago. I find it strange that you're not being invited to the debates here. Being a governor, I've always felt a governor is actually more qualified to be president than Obama was. I was saying on my show, a senator, like you were pointing out, they legislate. Where governors, you're basically, the state runs like, in a sense, like a federal government. You have to oversee all this stuff. You're like commander-in-chief of your own state, so to speak. And I felt, they went racking on Sarah Palin last year. I'm like, well, you may not like her, guys, and whatever, but she's actually more qualified to be president than President Obama was qualified to be president. So maybe I do understand why they're not inviting you. You might represent something that's a threat to this, to the system or something. That, you know, well, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and what? Yeah, let me point out something else. There's a reality to politics, and I'm not complaining here, but it also involves money. And if you look at where we're at with the amount of money that we raise, I think it's pretty remarkable. It's very entrepreneurial, but what it takes to bump it is money. And so that's also my pitch to everybody here is, man, you guys make bets all the time. How about one chip for Johnson? You know, just put a chip in for Johnson. You guys have made worse bets. You guys have watched that. You guys watch that go by all the time.
I like that. Hey, this is a mad genius speaking.
There you go.
Mike Darrow, everybody out there. Oh. If you like what Gary Johnson is saying, just send some money to the governor. I think you can go to GaryJohnson2012.com. Is that the right website, Governor?
That's it.
And go there, and, you know, next time you win a pot, take half of it, give it to the governor, or take more of it.
Yeah,
there you go.
It's going to make a difference.
Hey, you know, so
you could have had a good chance to get really jump-started, because people come out of nowhere, and you have all the qualifications, and nationwide people aren't that familiar with you, but having been excluded, well, that was really bizarre, being excluded from that CNN debate.
Yeah.
That had to strike you the wrong way.
Oh, absolutely. And statistically, I am the least known candidate. Let me tell you guys something else that I think is really important is 5 weeks ago, they did a national poll on all the presidential candidates and the favorability of those presidential candidates in their own states. There's only one presidential candidate running that has a plus favorability in his or her own state.
And that's you.
And of course, I'm teeing it up. It's me. I'm the least known candidate nationwide. That is statistical. About 17% of Republicans know who I am. In the only state that knows who I am, in a state that's 2-1 Democrat, I have a plus 12 favorability.
That's very good.
No other presidential candidate is even is even positive. I'm the only one that's got a plus.
And I think you got two more here tonight with Scott and Mike, maybe. So
I think, you know,
sounds like you have Scott and Mike Carroll's on the fence here, but but leaning toward you, kissing up to you a little bit.
I like what he's saying. You know, I think it's great. He's governor of New Mexico. It's a small state. I think he would definitely have a lot more exposure if he was governor of California. Then a lot of people would know who he was.
Sure.
I mean, although I think it doesn't matter too much as far as this, you know, you do a good job and you balance budgets. And he was talking about, Governor Johnson was talking about line item vetoes, which I've been screaming about for years. And they, you know, in Washington, they don't want to be doing that stuff. I remember Reagan tried to get that through, and a lot of other presidents were talking about that. I wish they could do something like that and get it through, which in the, so a president can say, hey, look, okay, I like this, I like that, let me send it back, let me veto this, and let's send it back and let's work together. The way it works in Washington now, it's just like, it just makes you, I'm not going to say it. It
no, makes you got it.
Yeah, you know, just things right, like well, that.
Governor, we want to thank you for coming on, and we wish you well in your bid to be president, and I think you got a few votes here, and if the very least, I hope your voice is a lot louder than it is now, because you have a lot of good ideas.
All right. Listen, it was fun. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Governor.
All right. Bye.
Our thanks to Governor Johnson. That was a lot of fun, and we're glad he took time out of his busy schedule to spend it with us. Although Onto Radio is not officially endorsing any candidate, we hope some of Mr. Johnson's words ring a little louder in the debate. I don't know if scaling the highest peaks on four continents makes you a good president, but it for sure makes you a pretty cool cat. So we wish the governor well in his bid to be president of the United States. And if you want to learn more about the governor, you can visit GaryJohnson2012.com. This has been an OnTel Radio News special report. Thank you for downloading an OnTel Radio podcast.